Receive the free bowel screening test kit. Don't put it off. If you're aged between 50 and 74, take the kit to the bathroom and get to it. It's the free test that could save your life.
There's nothing we like better on this show than reuniting people with their loved ones.
Mm.
And indeed, that's true of our amphibian friends as well. And this happened on the show yesterday.
I saw yesterday a post from WA Wildlife. Accidentally, we've ended up with a green tree frog down here in Perth that actually belongs in Broome.
Yep.
And it needs to go home because it's a biohazard. We'll have a problem with it being here. It's got to go home. Dean Huxley from WA Wildlife, who is now going to take the frog back to Broome?
So look, a lovely bloke by the name of Tim, who is heading up to Darwin, goes through Broome. He offered.
So that is what took place yesterday.
Yes.
Now, WA Wildlife, because they put the post out and said, someone drive him back, just do us a favour. Mm-hmm. Tim put his hand up. We've tracked down Tim. Tim is in Darwin about
to... No, in Broome, I think.
Oh, he's in Broome
right
now.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Tim.
G'day, Tim.
Are you there, Tim?
Yeah, I'm here.
Are you in Broome ready to release the frog?
I certainly are.
How was the trip up, Tim? Did you get to know the frog?
Yeah, he was pretty quiet.
Was he?
didn't say much?
Not a lot.
Tim, what made you put your hand up for this job? You thought, I'm the man to take the tree frog.
Oh, well, I live in Darwin and I've got 5 acres, so we got these little buggers everywhere. Yeah.
And you thought, I'm just familiar and I'm good to take this little trip. So you're just on holiday, are you? Just travelling around Australia?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, just from going down through Alice, down to Victoria, cut across and head back up.
Oh, you're a good man for doing this, buddy. Now, obviously, you're there in Broome. You're about to release the frog. Are you going to say a few words, light a few candles? How are you going to do it?
Don't forget to write.
Make sure you become friends on Facebook.
Good on you, Tim, though. It's a good thing that you stepped up and said, I'm prepared to do it. We did actually hear from Dean yesterday at WA Wildlife saying only moments after you left for your journey, they also had a monitor lizard arrive that needed to be returned. So someone else has had to do that job. So there's a few good Samaritans about. And do you get anything for your trouble?
No, not really. But I was just thinking that would have been an interesting trip with a frog and a manatee or whatever.
Yes, I would imagine so. You may have been able to skip Broome, I'm thinking, if that had been the case.
Could have won some money, have a,
live stream it. You were going to race them, fight them. Oh, good term. Good times. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You're a good man, Tim. You have a safe trip back up to Darwin. And thank, on behalf of all of us, thank you for doing this little thing for our community.
Yeah, no dramas. Yeah.
Good on you, mate. We'll call you next time we need to save some wildlife. Yeah. Cheers.
Yeah. Okay, then.
Cheers, mate. Mate.
It's just classic Australiana, isn't it? Like, yeah, I was going that way anyway. Chucked it in the car.
Pete, Matt and Kimber.
Star Wars fans are in a frenzy, apparently, because a new spin-off novel has seemingly revealed Obi-Wan Kenobi's sexuality. That
really?
He might be bisexual. Now, obviously, on our show, we don't care who you choose to love and how you live your life. You do you, Obi. But we have gone through a little bit of, you know, Star Wars stuff to find if we can see any clues that Obi-Wan Kenobi may be bisexual.
Also, all these spin-off series, are they still written and produced and created by the same people? Because anyone could create the spin-off, right?
I don't know. But, yes, that's true.
Obi's got his own spin-off now.
Does
he? Disney Plus, yeah.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
And so then we don't know if it was ever intended that he was going to be bisexual. But who knows?
Who knows? Well, this is Obi-Wan Kenobi talking.
You are wise.
That's cool.
Kind-hearted.
That's just nice.
Passionate. And fearless. If you ever need help from a tired old man.
Oh.
But we must be careful. No one must know, or it could endanger us both. Goodbye, princess.
Goodbye. Well,
okay,
yeah.
Right.
See, the romance of Star Wars is not what struck me. And I mean, let's be honest, I've only seen one.
Yes.
I've seen the original, like the first original.
And Sir Guinness didn't strike you as bisexual in
These
are not the droids you're after.
I'm struggling to know which one is Obi-Wan Kenobi.
He's the Jedi Master that Luke finds after Luke's parents are killed by the Empire or whatever they're called.
But it just wasn't a story of any kind of sexuality or background or any, like, I don't, but it's but come Kimber, to light.
That is your lightsaber. It is the part. I mean, look, I look forward to a more adult version of Star Wars where perhaps, you know, people's sexuality is freely expressed.
Oh, God.
You know, maybe, you know, Obi-Wan and Luke could get up to something. Maybe Yoda's watching.
You know what? I'm going to go out on a limb and say it already exists, but don't Google it at work.
Chewie's in the background. Darth Vader, do you like it, Darth? You know, I mean, I'm just saying, this is a free world. We should be proud of ourselves.
Absolutely.
Pete, Matt and Kimber on Mix 94.5.
Now, I'm putting this out to the Mix family, and obviously it's a bit of fun, but it is also a serious request or a serious question.
Oh.
I am currently, my wife T and I are trying to help not set up my father-in-law.
Well, here we go.
But just find some nice company for a very vibrant 80-year-old Italian man. When the
moon hits your eye, oh, dear. Now, does your father-in-law know that you're trying to set him up? Let's face it, you are sort of trying to set him up then.
Well, I'm not really. Like companionship, friendship, that sort of thing. And the reason that I ask, and, you know, 13, 10, 60, how did you set up your senior? Like might be your parents or your grandparents. It's because, you know, he's of that generation that he doesn't want to be doing the dating apps and that sort of thing.
No, you can't see him on Tinder.
No, I can't see him on Tinder.
State your business.
But also, and I mean no disrespect here, he's still a very energetic person, and we have sent him on some outings that he found just a little bit too slow and not really vibrant enough.
There's sort of, I guess, him being 80 years of age, there is an assumption out there that they reach an age where they're just not able to be walking around that much. Or, and some people just aren't that able-bodied or mentally capable at that age. But
that's
if you are, you feel like you're sort of hanging around with people who aren't quite up to speak.
Yeah, he wants to go and have a coffee and some conversation. He's got a little dog that he has to walk. He likes gardening and whatnot. But we genuinely don't really know where to suggest for him to go to meet such
and
people.
And it's tough too, because I guess you would start by going, go and do a hobby or something that you're interested in,
yes,
right? Like,
yes,
just go and find a task or something you like doing. Yeah. Then you might meet some people there. But often people lose their hobbies by that age.
Yeah.
And so it is a bit difficult. And also, let's face it, the older we get, the more fixed in our ways we are.
Yeah, I mean, by that age, your hobby is just sort of being alive, really, isn't it, sometimes?
And it's quite hard to, like, hook you up with somebody because you could be a complete pain in the butt by 80.
Well,
like,
there's that too. So
you know?
I'm just wondering if there are places out there that perhaps cater for, you know, a more sprightly person, or if there's any suggestions about what we could suggest.
Would you like, Maddie, would you like the Mix family to give suggestions on some places that he might be able to meet someone, or would you like to hear the stories of the good and bad of trying to hook up a parent?
Mm. Oh, any of those would do. And indeed, you know, if perhaps someone calls in and says, I know someone who lives in the northern suburbs around that age, we'll keep it all discreet,
isn't that
of course.
Terrible? That is all it takes, is just that are you single? He's single too. Let's
you two get together. But, you know, a little bit of advice, a few suggestions.
All right, well, 13, 10, 60, if you have set up your parent,
a senior,
or a senior,
yeah,
and found them a companion. How did it go? Or indeed, where can Matt start looking to palm off his father-in-law?
Indeed, I'm thinking settinguposenior.com could be my new side hustle, right? Helen's in Redcliffe. How shall I set up a senior, Helen?
Oh, well, I've got a great suggestion.
Go on.
Ballroom dancing.
Okay. Mm. Okay.
Because honestly, I met my husband like that.
Yeah.
And there's lots of people of all ages. It's active. It's social.
Yep.
They have like an afternoon tea dance.
Mm-hmm.
And they have social dances at night.
Beautiful.
It's a great idea. And also part of his generation, he would have probably grown
that
up
sort
dancing.
Of dancing
and,
yes.
Yeah, I did Latin dancing. Absolutely loved it. And they are desperate for men. Because in a lot of those classes, the social classes, the women have to play the role of the man
really?
and dance in that position because there's not enough men in the groups.
Okay, I haven't asked him about his penchant for dance, so I'll have that.
Good suggestion,
well
Helen.
Well done, Helen, yeah. Paula's in Craigie. Paula, setting up a senior, what have you got?
Hi, how are you going?
Good.
I know that the Laguna Veneto Club in Dianella do a karaoke night. I think there's a bit of dancing. Lots of elderly Italians go there. It's a huge, big social night.
Paula, where have you been? That's it.
I know, right? I can't tell you what night or any of the details, but I'm sure if you go on their website, and they do all sorts of other stuff, but I know this karaoke night really is very popular.
Oh, I'd love to be a fly on the wall at that karaoke night.
You won't be a fly on the wall, mate. 3 weeks from now, we'll be filming you taking him there.
Totally.
Like, this will be you hooking him up.
I think it's Luana from Rockingham. Hello, Luana.
Hello.
Luana, did you set up a senior?
Yeah, I did. My mum, she was in a really volatile relationship with my dad for 60 years, and he died. And when she was 65, I set her up and showed her how to go online to meet people, and I told her, don't meet the first people you meet.
Yes, yes.
Anyway, she went online, she met the first guy she met and fell in love, and I was really worried about it, and I said, you're not meant to do that. You've got to, like, filter them out.
Play the field, Mum.
Yeah. Anyway, she ended up marrying him, and they're still together after 10 years.
Oh, so. Oh, that's great. A lovely story. Yeah.
Oh, that's good. Okay.
Well, as we know, I mean, internet dating has worked for many, many, yes. many people. It just, for a certain generation, it seems a little bit alien, I guess.
Okay. Matt in Butler, you've set your mother-in-law up.
Yeah. So she was feeling a bit lonely, so the wife got her onto Tinder.
Okay.
Wow.
And so obviously in the profile, the kind of thing, we put that she's after companionship, not after one-nighters, you know.
Yep, unless you are. Yep. And if you are, that's cool too.
That's fine.
Yeah, that's cool too. And she met the guy she's with now. They've been together for 3 years.
Oh,
great.
Another success story.
It is. Oh, look, I love that. I mean, I'm so nervous around sort of technology, I'd probably end up putting him on Grindr without meaning to. But, hey, it's a good option. I like it.
Need a new animal in my house.
Oh.
Although I don't know if this is a good idea. And so I'm
sorry. Did I go too early?
No, you're on the money. Should I get a chicken?
Oh, really?
Should I get a chicken? Now, I know that in the past you would have heard me on this show complaining about my neighbour's chickens,
yes.
and having them removed by the council.
That's correct.
And that's because
that.
They were trying to raise a family of chickens and roosters in an alfresco in the backyard of Balga.
Right.
And I was not okay with that because it was against the regulations and it's animal cruelty.
Okay.
But there's an egg shortage in Australia. There's a really big egg shortage. It's been going on and off for a few months now. You might have found you go in to get eggs and they're not available. You might have to try a different shop.
I thought that was like logistics problems during COVID, but than that.
And, you know, I guess locally we would love to say that we get everything local. Well, let's face it, the shops don't. And so there has been a bit of an issue and now we're really getting an egg problem that you're about to see come through. So basically it's from during the pandemic.
Yeah.
They were selling less eggs,
right?
So they put less poultry out to deal with, to lay eggs, basically.
Okay.
And so now the repercussions of that another season later are that we don't have enough.
Well, this is no yolk.
It's no yolk, Maddie. It's no yolk. But I looked up Gumtree. On Gumtree, you can get a chicken for $15. So should I get a chicken and then just have my own fresh eggs? Because I'm vegetarian and eggs are, the only protein I get in my life, right?
I love eggs.
Like, without eggs, I don't really know what I'd be eating. So I would like to know from people who have chickens, 13, 10, 60, what's the outlay here? What are we really talking? Like, if I get a chicken, is it okay to just buy a $15 chicken, keep it in a box, go out and go, hey, Henny, grab a couple of eggs, go in. Like, what are we really, I want to know. Outlay, what's it going to cost to hook them up with a little house, the cost of keeping it, feeding it, because they just eat scraps, don't they?
They do. Look, I mean, Mango, me best mate in Melbourne, he's got chickens and it's a lot of work.
Oh.
Now, he takes it to another level where in his shed he's got the full life cycle of crickets. So he literally breeds his own crickets to feed the chickens, as well as scraps and whatnot. It's wonderful because they got heaps of eggs.
Into that, am
no, I?
I
didn't think you would.
I'm not going to go that. I'm looking for the bare minimum of still taking care of a chicken in the way it deserves to have a good life.
Okay,
but also produce eggs.
Okay, all right. 13, 10, 60.
Let us know. Do you have some chook advice for Kimber to help her get some going?
Owning a chook
can't be that hard.
Give us a call,
Nikki and Spearwood. You used to have chickens. I say used to. Is there a reason that you don't have them anymore?
Well, we've got two huskies now, so I can't sort of have chickens with them.
Oh, right, yes.
What was definitely
it?
Worth it.
What am I looking at for the outlay of a chicken?
It's probably about $300 once you get your little chicken house and then you get your pellets and they're right to go.
Are they hard work, Nikki? Am I going to have to do a lot for them?
You do nothing. They do everything themselves. You feed them scraps, you get your fresh eggs. You get a couple chickens, you'll end up with a dozen eggs a week.
Wow. Really? And like cleaning? Do you have to clean the cage?
Well, the cage that you could buy for two chickens, you can move around on the grass. So, like, it sort of manures the grass.
Yes.
Oh, my God. This is sounding better than children. Okay.
It is. It is.
They look after themselves. They just live in their own filth. And you just throw them a few pellets.
It's just trying to find tradies and building materials for the cage. That's the hard bit.
Joe in Mandra, what do you reckon? What's the outlay of having a chicken?
Oh, definitely worth it. You can get little houses from Bunnos and things like that. Get a couple and they become friends of yours. Like, they're really quite therapeutic.
Are they?
And how long, like, are they going to produce eggs forever or am I going to have a chicken for 15 years and it's only going to give me the goods for two?
If you love them, lots happy chickens, lots of eggs. But, and when they get out, they scratch all around the garden if you let them out of their little house for a few hours every day. Mm. Feed them scraps, a bit of wheat, lots of water. And they're just great little animals. Yeah. I did have some when I was living out bush and the foxes did get in and it was a bit of a slaughter scene. But
I remember I was in Victoria with friends and we went out for dinner for her birthday and she said, I forgot to put the chickens back in the coop. And I was like, oh, whatever. And she was like, no, they'll get eaten. And we were giggling about it, thinking she was joking. And when we got home, the foxes had destroyed all of her chickens.
Oh, really?
It was awful.
Okay.
Yeah, it was quite confronting. Turns out they've got a lot of foxes in Victoria.
Yes.
Kathy in Forest Field, what do you reckon? What's the outlay of getting a chook? Should I get a chicken?
Well, we have two chickens and they have names and they're very much loved like all the rest of our pets.
Yep.
I'm a bit like the free range idea. I like them being out in the backyard and, you know, getting fresh air, not being cooped up. But the damage they do in our garden, I don't know that it's worth it. They dig up absolutely everything, even the lawn.
Oh,
see, and you love your garden.
I do love my garden. How many?
And they poop everywhere as well.
How many eggs are they giving you though?
We get two. We've got two chickens, so two a day, and we give most of our eggs away to family and friends because we probably go through about six eggs a week, and we get 14. So
getting two a
we
day.
Have a surplus.
Well, so far this sounds all right.
Yeah.
Like checking my council rules, getting a chicken's not so bad.
I want you to do it just because I want to see you slowly be worn down by these animals.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. And also, for $15, I could probably get one with chips. Is it worth
it? Let me work it. Now, my friends, it's not often that I feel like I'm ahead of the curve when it comes to anything to do with pop culture.
Mm-hmm.
But it turns out there's a new trend within the workplace called quiet quitting.
Oh.
Quiet quitting?
Yeah, and it seems like I've been doing this without knowing it. It's basically, it's not quitting your job.
Yeah.
It's just quitting the idea of doing things that you don't feel have anything to do with you or going above and beyond anything that you feel like you should, like, you know, not answering emails or phone calls out of business hours, taking that hour lunch break that you're entitled to and going, you know what, sorry, boss, I'm going out for lunch. I'll see you in an hour.
So if it's not in the job description, it's not happening. You're just not doing it.
That kind of thing.
And is this like it's sweeping the world, quietly quitting, just
quietly
people
quitting.
Getting by doing the bare minimum required?
Well, and look, you know, like everything, there's always a blowback, right? You can't make an omelette without breaking some eggs. And we've seen technology take over our lives in every aspect, including the workplace. And that's meant that we've all... You know, and you can't blame anyone for it. It's just because it's so accessible. You get an email at 7 p.m. and you think, I'll just answer it.
Yeah.
And so then that becomes the sort of the accepted way of working, that you're always on call.
Well, it's tough too because, you know, they say this about relationships as well. Like people learn how to treat you by what you accept from them.
Yes, yes, yes.
So if you don't push back and the boss starts making a couple of demands, in the beginning you're like, oh, I've got to do the right thing.
Yes.
But then that becomes your norm.
Uh-huh.
And so I guess there has to be some boundaries in place because some management will take advantage of you regardless.
Of course.
And, you know, but it seems sad. Remember that old work relationship used to be like, you know, you're looking after the company and they're looking after you and you'd stay for 30 years. And now it seems like just everyone's just trying to get by and get away with what they can.
Well, I'm thinking back to like my father's, you know, generation. When you clocked off, you clocked off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and there was
yeah.
no thinking about work until you clocked back on again.
Well, they couldn't contact you any other way. Work couldn't send you an email. They couldn't get you on mobile. If you weren't at home by the phone, you were uncontactable.
Yeah. And, of course, we've seen countries within the European Union have actually legislated this. So it's against the law for your employer to contact you outside of office hours, normal office hours. Yeah,
they'll actually shut down the email servers. They're not
Will they really?
Yeah, yeah. I think in Germany they legislated that. Yeah.
Oh, the bloody Germans, man. They're onto it, I tell you.
And also good on you, Matt, for admitting that you're quietly quitting and just being really open about it so that other people also know when we're quietly quitting.
You know, I do everything quietly.
Give it to me. He's the Gold Logie winner and former carpenter who's hosted The Block since 2010. Here comes another one. And in the 18th season, starting Sunday, he's rolling up his sleeves to renovate one of the homes himself. Here comes another one. Please welcome Scott Camm.
Oh, Sir Scotty. Scott Camm. Surely the knighthood's close, is it, bud?
It's so good to be back in Perth.
Yeah, welcome.
Yeah, we love it.
Well, it has been a couple of years of pandemic and not travelling. You've still managed to pull off another season of The Block, but this one looks very different because this is sort of... It's rural. It's countryside living. Is that what people want after the pandemic?
Well, we thought that. And we had a few friends that had done the tree change in that area where we are. And we thought, well, why not do the tree change? Because people are getting out of the city, working from home. So we bought 70 acres about 40 minutes out of town.
Wow.
And we gave the contestants 10 acres each.
Wow.
With an old house that we brought in, dropped on. And then we had a new contemporary pavilion built out the back, ready for them to turn it into a five-bedroom home.
Fantastic. Incredible. And, mate, we've all seen the promos, so we know that it kicks off to a very, you know, tumultuous start with a walkout very early.
Yes, yes, first time ever. Look, The Block's not for everybody, and but it would have been nice to be told. But
come on, the audition process.
Yes.
You know. 18 or 17 series to watch.
Don't they, like, psychologically profile you? I mean, I've...
We do, and they were all up for it. But, look, it just didn't work out for them.
Sure.
And the thing is that to work out why they left, we'll have to ask them because they didn't really tell us why they left.
Okay.
That's up to them. And
who knows what's going on in their lives?
Yeah. Well, I think maybe the high vis might have been a bit of a problem and a few other things. But there was, you know, that just wasn't for them. And we got some new contestants out of it. But, of course, if there was any dramas, all they had to do was tell us.
Sure.
Mm.
And we would have flown them anywhere in Australia to sort that out and then flown them back. In fact, in the past, we've shut the whole show down because someone lost their mum.
Yeah.
Yes.
And we shut production down for a week.
So you're there to look after them
as
well.
Families first. We're renovating. We're not, you know, We're not doing anything special. Well,
whenever I'm going through anything emotional, I always think I need to speak to Scotty.
You do. Yeah. Just ring me, mate. I'll get you anywhere you like.
You're a legend.
Well, you know, at the start of our promo, we said former carpenter, but I hope you've not lost any of your skills because you're working on a house this season.
Yes, and I said exactly the same thing, and I'm 60 years old, right? I'm a little bit tight in the shoulders and. Knees and back, everything. And they said, we want you to build a house. They're like, please. So I've got a team around me, a couple of chippies, a designer, my TV wife, who's my...
Oh, so you're not out there picking cushions.
I am. I'm part of it, but I've got to help.
Yeah, okay.
Because I've got like 1,000 things to do anyway.
Yeah.
Besides that on the show.
Yeah,
and, you know, they drag me from here to here to here, come and do this, come and do that. And, and you wanted me to build a house at the same time? So anyway, I build a house. It's not judged. It's not auctioned. It's just inspiration for the contestants. And, of course, my house that I built is the best on the block.
Of course.
By miles. Yeah. Oh, well, so if I had been judged, I would have won every week, which would have been embarrassing.
Just briefly before we let you go, buddy, I mean, obviously people know that during the pandemic, building has been difficult with tradies and with materials and you're out in a rural area. Mm. I mean, what were some of the challenges in that regard?
Well, look, we had a lot of challenges with supply chain issues and getting materials. And we've got a network and a lot of contacts behind us.
Mm.
And we still had trouble. So that's why the building industry is in real trouble at the moment, or Australia-wide. And, there's no fix.
No.
Actually, nobody knows why it's happening, I think. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's obviously reasons with wars and pandemics and things like that. But I don't understand why timber shelves are empty. Like, there's no 4x2 or 3x2 in shelves. Go to a hardware store and it's empty.
Everyone's
so where's that timber
to...
coming from? Where did it used to come from? I thought most of it came from New Zealand, our pine and all that sort of thing.
Yep.
But the thing is that there's no easy fix for this because the builder's not at fault. If he builds the house, he goes broke because supply costs have gone up. And the client, the owners, if they accept the increased charges, they go broke.
No winners.
And they can't afford that.
Yeah.
So I know some builders in say, Melbourne, that are offering $20,000 to clients to walk away.
Right.
Wow.
I give you 20K cash to walk away.
Oh, that's awful, isn't it? Yeah.
So you get your 20 grand, but then what happens? Say your house that you're getting built goes up by 60 grand, which I know someone, 67 it went up.
Mm.
That's what the builder offered them. But so they walk away with their 20.
Yeah.
But when they go to get it requoted, it's gone up 100 grand.
Of course it has, yeah. Nah, mate.
Awful. So how do you fix that?
Oh, I don't know. I guess we're just going to all our dad's sheds and getting all the 4x2s that they've been collecting over the years.
I don't know.
Good to see you, buddy. Welcome
Thank you,
back
guys.
And look forward to the new season.
Looks like it's going to be a great season. Make sure you watch the premiere of The Block Sunday, 7 p.m. on Channel 9. Thank you, Scotty.
Thank you, guys.
Sometimes you've got to rock the boat and step up, make some noise and be heard.
Yes.
And on this one occasion, I didn't. I casually mentioned to the team a number of weeks ago that I think we've got pantry moths at work.
Okay, yeah, I've seen them,
right?
Actually.
We discussed the pantry moths and I was like, guys, someone should probably do something about it. It wasn't going to be me, but I was like, someone should do something about the pantry moths because when you got pantry moths, it's a real problem.
It's a bit like climate change, right? Someone should do something about it. I mean, I'm not going to.
You know why? Because there's nothing in the cupboard do you have anything in the cupboards here?
No.
Tim,
just
do you have
memories.
Anything in the cupboards?
No, my cereal sits on my desk, and it's moth-free, I checked.
You've got your cereal and you provide the butter. We've
Correct.
Been stealing from your margarine for some
thanks,
time
Tim.
Now.
Yeah.
Thanks,
no
Tim.
Cheers.
But there's no, I don't have anything else here. And a few other people at work, they store a bit of cereal and different things in the pantry. It turns out we've got pantry moths because no one dealt with it. We did see our co-worker in there the other day in gloves with a ladder throwing out everything we own.
Yeah. Old muesli.
It didn't matter. It was like, I don't know whose this is, but it's going in the bin because once you've got weevils, once you've got pantry moths, they're there for life.
Do pantry moths metamorphosize into weevils, do
weevils
they?
Weevils become pantry moths.
That's the lie. Okay.
Yeah. Right, yeah. So they're disgusting and they have a really massive breeding cycle where they lay thousands of eggs in your pantry in the lids of all of your containers and stuff. And they're not fussy. They'll eat anything. Ah. And they eat through cardboard and through packets. So, yeah, so once they're in your pantry, they're like, it's an effort to get rid.
There was larvae everywhere. It looked like when your bin gets fly blown with maggots. Yeah. There was larvae all over the cupboard.
Our kitchen was super awesome. And I felt like maybe I should have made some more noise about it at the time before we let the next life cycle continue.
Okay.
But then I went home yesterday and opened my dog biscuits to give the dog some food and weevils! Weevils.
Oh, you think you've brought it from work to home?
No, they were living in the dog biscuits.
Right.
They were clearly growing in there, but of course when they start as weevils and the larvae, it takes them a number of weeks to hatch. Sure. So you don't know anything's happening, and then one day you open the bag and they're just fluttering around flying because they've become new creatures. And so now no dog biscuits. Nothing to eat at work. We're starving.
This is the new pandemic, isn't it?
We're starving. <Bloody hell.
laughs> Pete, Matt and Kimba on Mix 94.5.
Shrinkflation, it's been the big thing in the last 12 months in particular because we're going, companies were charging us a lot more money for the things we were buying.
Yep.
And then when people got angry about that, they went, oh, how about we just shrink what we give you and then we'll just charge you the same amount.
Yes.
So hoping that we wouldn't notice or change the packaging or all new look, whatever notice. It is. But isn't it? It's just on so many products, we're losing the value of the product now.
Mm.
And now it's happened to Maltesers.
Oh, Maltesers. Where will it end?
The latest victim, a 7.5% drop. So you're going to lose 7 Maltesers in a box or in a pack.
Yep.
7 Maltesers in the pack. So that's, and you know, it's not the first time they've done it too, because they did their Twix bars. They got them down to a third of their original size.
Really?
Yeah. And the Cadbury's have put their dairy milk bars, their standard bars, they've gone down by 10% in March.
Because we always go back to that story that we remember about the airline with the taking one olive out of the salad and the incredible amount of money they save by just doing that. So it's not a new phenomenon, is it?
No, and Mars, you know, who make Maltesers, they're a very successful company. They're doing very well. I mean, in terms of what they create, you know, they make 1 billion pods a year and 5 billion M&Ms a year. Right. Now, I can tell you the Mars revenue, the money they made last year was $45 billion.
Right. So they're doing
now,
it
that's
tough.
Not their profit. I can't find their profit because what do you know? It's hard to find.
Yes. Yeah.
So it's funny how the things that they want you to see, they're like, oh, that's what, you can't get revenge porn off the net, but you can certainly remove their information about their financials.
Yeah. Welcome to our office here on the Cayman Islands.
But I mean, surely they're making enough money to cover the 7 Maltesers. And the only reason I'm not more frustrated about this story is that Maltesers were probably the worst value chocolate on the market ever. I never purchased a packet of Maltesers.
Right.
Occasionally at the cinema or when someone's selling one of those fundraiser boxes. You know, you buy the box to help someone's camp or their school PNC or whatever.
Yeah.
But outside of that, Maltesers, you're not getting chocolate for your money, are you?
No.
You're just getting air.
Yes,
you're getting
a little
bit of malt and a little bit of air, but you're not there for the chocolate. In fact, I think they should sell it in a different aisle.
Well, you know, you've got only so much energy, Kimber, and you are the people's champion, but you do have to pick and choose your fights. And clearly Maltesers are not, you know,
don't
they're not firing
them.
You up.
They've been underwhelming for ages, if we're honest, aren't they?
Yeah.
It's all right, guys. Hopefully they'll shrink it on that and I'll just keep the value elsewhere.
All right.
Receive the free bowel screening test kit. It's the free test that could save your life. Mix 94.5.